calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Good evening, and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located in the city of Groton. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. The net operates on the 147.06 megahertz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7. If needed, the secondary repeater is the Groton repeater at 146.97 and a PL tone of 156.7. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and encourages the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPSNet is a directed open net. That means we call for a round of check-ins, and when everyone is checked in, we'll go down through the list of comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have questions for the net. We will ask for your question after everybody is checked in. There's three sections to the TIPSNet. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," release the mic button, and listen to ensure no one else called at the same time. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a question or comment. Please let me know that when you check in. Let's reset the repeater again. This is Tim, KC1TWR, your net control station for this evening. If you start taking check-ins, please remember to talk slowly. Please give your call signs now.
I think you called for check-in. There was some static at the end there. Net control, this is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin at Norwich. I don't have any questions at this point. We'll see what happens.
You got a little bit of ask me, but maybe somebody else can verify. My question for everybody tonight was if you have to tilt an antenna in an attic, and it somebody was telling me it makes it slightly directional, which way do you tilt an antenna to decide which way it's going to be directional? I put a J-pole up in the attic, and I have it leaning towards Norwich. I'm just kind of curious. I'm not exactly sure which way to tell, which way is going to be the stronger part of the signal coming off the antenna. So if anybody has any insight on that, I appreciate it. So K0JEB, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Josh. That's certainly an interesting question. I'm familiar with Yagi's, and I know about, theoretically about J-poles and so forth, but I know I do not have the answer. But we'll go on to the next person, Kevin, and see if maybe he might have any thoughts on this. Kevin K6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
All right, thank you very much, Tim. Thanks for popping up and doing that tonight. And Tim was right about the noise, although it comes and it goes. Right now it's there, but it's way in the background. I don't think it's, I don't know, it's a weird one. Sounds like somebody running a lawnmower on slow speed or something. But it's way in the background. I wouldn't worry about it now. Earlier it was loud. I think that a vertically polarized omnidirectional antenna that is up and down, in other words, up and down is going to be omnidirectional. If you lean it a couple of degrees one way or the other, it's going to be directional or stronger in the direction in which you lean it. So if it's tilting 3 or 4 or 5 degrees to the west, it's probably going to have a better footprint to the west by some percentage than it does in other directions, which I think was the assumption Josh was going with when he leaned the antenna toward Norwich. That's my understanding, but I haven't studied it real diligently. KA6PDG, back to net.
Thank you, Kevin. My gut feeling is I disagree with you, this is not based on worlds of experience, so I'm probably wrong. But in thinking of the omnidirectional as like a donut, if you take the donut and you tilt it, the part that you tilt it towards is actually going to be facing more into the ground. The part that's tilting up, if you will, I'm not sure if that would have better propagation or not. But that's my 2 cents worth, or probably quarter cent worth, actually. But let's see what Steve thinks of all this. Steve, W1SVC, this is Tim, KC1TWR.
Question. I'm actually, I don't have the answer, and that's always interested me. That's a valid question. Not really sure. I haven't done much research on that because I haven't had to be in a situation where I had to deal with that, but I have actually crossed my mind, and I do see Tim's point about if you were to lean and the shape of the signal, the part you were leaning, that the antenna was leaning to would actually be pointing downward, and the other would kind of start to go up a little bit better angle. I suppose if you were at a higher elevation, it would work against you. If you're at a lower elevation, it could work for you. But yeah, that's a valid question, and I actually may do some research on that in the future, because it's a situation that you do run into that connect.
Thank you, Steve. Well, Josh, you have a couple of different opinions there. And not saying Kevin's wrong. Like I said, it's just a gut feeling that I have. I can't really back it up with anything other than a gut feeling, if you will, but my recommendation would be that you know, if you're talking through the Norwich repeater, see if you can get somebody to measure your signal strength as you move it from one incline over the top to the other incline. The problem is we're seem to be discovering this evening, is that the reception from the repeater seems to be varying anyhow, so that would probably throw you off. But let's go back to you, Josh, and see what you think of all this conversation. K0JEB, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, it's K0JEB. I see Kevin's point, and I see your point. I don't know. Kevin told me last night his thought, and, you know, just thinking about it, I just wanted to throw that out there. I thought it'd make a good discussion. And currently, with the way I have it tilted, I'm getting better signal reports from that area. I'm just not courageous enough to go back up in the attic and deal with moving it around again to see what the effect would be if I tilted it back. I figured I'd throw it out there, see if anybody had any experience, because I know sometimes with HOAs you have to get creative with your antenna placement. So this is K0JEB, back to net control.
Very good, Josh. It is interesting, and the other thought, of course, is that if we think of a Yagi antenna, well, that is pointing directly in one direction, and that is kind of laying down. But then again, that's a little bit different because you actually have the various elements that make up a Yagi antenna, the reflector and the director and so forth. So I don't know. Very good question, and but it sounds like your experimenting so far has proved that possibly bending it towards or angling it towards the destination actually is better, and that would be good. But yes, it's especially hot up there and what have you. Let's go ahead to Kevin, and you can repudiate my remarks or thoughts, or not. KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Oh, I don't think, I'm not in the repudiation mood tonight. I think, though, the thing that comes to my mind is many of these antennas that we're talking about that we use on VHF and UHF have a fairly high angle of radiation off the antenna. I guess you'd say off the driven element. Would that be the right phrase? I don't think you usually get a completely horizontal signal or a I guess that's the best way I know how to say it. Unless you have a full wavelength antenna, and then it's still going to be affected, I believe, by the takeoff angle of the coax, and possibly by how high it is above surrounding terrain or something like that. So if you have a takeoff angle of radiation from the antenna that's say 10 degrees high, and you tilt that antenna 5 or 6 degrees in one direction or the other, you're probably going to be stronger in that direction. He said, and then passed it back to net control after he said KA6PDG.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and there's definitely something going on with either the repeater or turboducting or something, because we did catch it, or at least I caught everything you said, but that near the end it was getting very, very scratchy. That is true, because the antenna he's using as a J-pole, the connection, the coax would be coming from the bottom, as opposed to a dipole that's mounted vertically, where the cable would come into the center point with one element going up and the other element going straight down. That would probably have the best chances of having a pure horizontal area, but you're right, coming in from the bottom, maybe it is kicking up, in which case tilting it forward would take advantage of that. And with all of that, Let's see what Steve thinks of all of this. Steve, W1SVC, KC1TWR.
W1SVC, yeah, that makes sense too. Yeah, because where the kind of J-pole is not that different than the ground plane, and I guess if the ground is forming, and it could definitely be an advantage leaning that way. Not really sure though. I'd love to, when it gets cooler, I'd like to do more, well, like to have Josh do more experimenting. It's a little hot to be up in the attic messing around with that stuff, because it's kind of interesting concept, you know, and it is somewhat easy. It's actually a lot easier to detect reception than transmitting something that's hard. See how well you're receiving the repeater, play around with it that way. I've done that before and had somewhat success finding a handheld or something that actually has a decent S meter, though is often tricky. But yeah, it definitely is worth deeper research because it's a good subject. Back to net, W1SVC.
Thank you, Steve. And to be fair, a couple of comments ago, my first thought was for Josh was to poke a hole in his living room ceiling, stick a broom handle up there and attach it to the antenna, and that way he could be down in the living room moving it back and forth, tilting it this way and that. And I decided that probably suggesting that his wife would take exception to that, having a hole in the living room ceiling. Anyhow, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, TipsNet. We meet every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and looking for any additional check-ins. Please call now.
Harris. Whiskey 1, Julia Oscar Papa, John Groton.
Recognizes John, W1JOP. Any further check-ins, please call now.
This is Kilo Bravo 1, Romeo Alpha Yankee, Mark in Groton. No questions.
Recognizes Mark, KB1RAY. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, John and Mark, just to bring you up to speed, the question that Josh, K0JEB, had posed was he has a J-pole antenna in his attic, and due to the height restrictions within the attic, he has it leaning towards Norwich, I think he said Norwich. Anyhow, he has it leaning in a direction towards a repeater that he wants to talk to. And the question came up that he posed was, leaning it towards it, would that improve the signal? Or would it decrease it? Or should he lean it away from the repeater he wants to talk to, and would that improve it or decrease it? And we've had a couple of thoughts, one of being that leaning it towards it, because the way the coax goes into a J-pole antenna, you don't have a straight horizontal plane for the omnidirectional. It's actually radiating up a bit, so that might be the best way to lean it towards. And the other thought being that if it's truly horizontal and you lean it towards, then you're actually pointing more into the ground. But those are the questions that we have at this point. So hearing that, John, W1JOP, do you have any thoughts on that? This is KC1TWR.
I would be inclined to believe it would work better for the Norwich repeater, but I'm really not that familiar with a J-pole antenna, but I am familiar with the limited space antennas and limited space, so my antennas are as vertical as I can get them, And, well, I only have one antenna, and it's as vertical as I can get it, and it seems to work totally fine. But it is leaning towards the direction of the Salem repeater, just because I use Salem the most. But I was listening to the conversation in the other room while eating dinner, and it's very interesting. So I'll turn it back to Ned. That's all I got to add. This is WNJOP.
Oh, thank you, John. And you certainly get full quieting coming in very clear. So your antenna situation is working very well. Mark, after our description, what have you, do you have any thoughts on this matter? KB1RAY, KC1TWR.
KB1RAY. Well, antennas are unfortunately one of my worst subjects. I was listening to the net earlier here and heard some of the comments. Myself personally, I'm going to go with I guess leaning it away from the repeater, where the omnidirectional signal would be kind of going upwards on one side and, you know, down on the other, of course. Especially for a place at sea level, like most of Groton is, I would have to take a wild guess that having it slightly angled up, I guess, you could say, towards Norwich would give the better signal reports. But again, I'm not an antenna person. with that, KB1RAY, back to net control.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, it's a doozy of a question. I can see both sides of it, but we're going to have to either find someone or find a way to calculate it or do some testing and figure this out, not only to help Josh, but help anybody else in the future that has faces the same predicament. It would be interesting. And one of the questions I would have, although probably won't be solved in this anytime soon, is how far towards the repeater can you angle it before you get diminishing returns? But because that could be part of it as well. Okay, we're back to the top of the list. Josh, with all these comments and so forth, any further thoughts or comments on this K0JEB KC1TWR?
KC1TWR, K0JEB. Man, I just like it when I ask a question. I feel like I'm opening a can of worms. it makes good discussion, though. I don't have anything further on that subject. So I guess we can move on to someone else. Send it back to you, Tim. This is K0JEB.
Okay, thank you, Josh. And with that, I will open the floor. Does anyone have any questions or comments or thoughts that they'd like to bring to the net this evening? If so, please call now.
W1SVC for the comment.
And KA6PDG also.
W1SVC and Kevin KA6PDG. Both have comments. We'll take them in the order we received. So go ahead, Steve, W1SVC, with your comment.
W1SVC. It's kind of on the subject, and Tim, you said something that triggered a humorous situation with the broomstick going through Josh's living room floor so he could adjust his antenna. I recently purchased a new travel trailer, traded our old one, and got a little bit more different one. It's actually a little bit smaller, yada, yada. And one of the things it comes with, although it didn't come with the television, is a digital television antenna. It's very low profile, and it rotates. And it rotates by inside, there's like a push knob that you can push up to unlock it, and you can rotate it by hand and adjust for your picture better. And it's brand new, and I haven't done anything to it other than the regular stuff, and I was already accused by my daughter of making some sort of ham shack modification to my brand new trailer because she thought it was something I may have put on for my radio setups. So I found that really amusing, and I assure her that it came like that. But it is actually a nice device, and I have thought about trying to figure out some way to maybe get a 2-meter Yagi up on there, but that's a different story. Back to that.
That is good, Steve. That is very good. They won't be the first time that an amateur radio operator will be accused of something because people are reading into physical structures and whatnot when it really isn't there. We know it's not there, but to them, it's all magic, I guess. But, yeah, I can imagine you would have a good time with having a something that from the inside you can control the angle on the outside. That would be helpful, especially fox hunting. Kevin, KA6PGG, please proceed with your comment now.
Thank you, Tim. If I may first just a quick response on Steve's. There was an old story about that sort of thing, and it may have originally been a CB or story where the guy was getting complaints about TVI from his neighbor, and the neighbor was sure it was this guy's equipment that was doing it. So the guy goes over to the neighbor's house to help him investigate the problem, see if he can be a good neighbor and help solve the TVI problem. And he's standing there in the guy's living room, and the guy says, See there, there's interference on the television. It's got to be you transmitting. And, of course, the CB or the ham, whoever it was standing in the guy's living room. Anyway, when I was commenting before, one of the points I made, and it may have been while my signal was noisy, let me reset, was that the other thing that enters into the angle of radiation of the antenna is the length of the antenna. And if it's a half wave or a quarter wave or a 5/8, it's probably going to have a higher angle of radiation, less like the donut, than if it's a full wavelength antenna, which most of us don't use on VHF, UHF, I don't think. We usually have 5/8 or quarter waves or something like that. So that was the other thing, not just the takeoff angle of the coax, but the length of the antenna and the surrounding stuff. Add-on to that I was thinking about during the conversation was just a reminder to self as well as others, because it's easy to forget when you're using an HT, when you're using a handheld radio, it's so important to keep that, and in most cases, so important to keep that antenna straight up and down. We forget, and we go to read something, and we've got the handheld tipped at 45 degrees, and we wonder why we're not making the net control, the repeater in net control says, what did you say? With the handheld radios, when you're using an HT, hold it straight up and down, or you're going to spill RF all over the place. KA6PDG.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. That's a good point, very good point. And I know I was going to try and come up with something about rags and spilling RF, but I'll let it get to, my brain isn't functioning that well at that level, so I'll just let that go. But, yeah, and based on your comment, I was thinking, oh, well, we could use a handheld to test that theory. If you point it towards the repeater a little bit, let's say about 15 degrees, that would, you know, how does that do compared to away from the repeater? And, but then it dawned on me that, well, the antenna that we're using on an HT is different from a quarter wave ground plane, it's different from a J-pole, it's, you know, each of those antennas have their own peculiarities, so I don't think it would make much sense to use one antenna style or design to compare with another antenna style or design, but we shall see. Okay. Well, we'll we'll go one more question, open up, and if not, we'll have a final round of comments before we go to part two and part three. So I'll just open it up. Are there any further check-ins or questions that anybody would like to bring to the net? Please do so now.
Zero JEB with an additional question.
Okay, Josh, K0JEB, please proceed with your additional question.
K0JEB, this one's going to really be a doozy, I think. So I need some clarification on if there is no third-party agreement between a country, say, Poland and the United States. I put a poll out on Facebook asking for comments from ham radio operators because I want to know if I can send a NTS radiogram to someone in Poland, and but there's no third-party agreement, so I don't know if you can even get that transmission or that radiogram to that country. And somebody said, well, as long as they don't communicate back to you, it's okay. So I'm just wondering if anybody has any insight on the legality or of not having a third-party agreement with a amateur radio operator in that country. Send it back to Net Controls, K0JEB.
Well, Josh, K0JEB, thank you very much for that question. My first thought is that that would be a great question for the NTS breakfast that's coming up, but I will open this up to anybody that would care to reply. Does anybody like to call in with get their thoughts on the question that Josh has expressed? Please call now.
Sure, KA6PDG.
KA6PDG, please proceed with your comment.
Well, I wish I had part 97 in front of me here so I could quote chapter and verse, but my knowledge base, my experience is no, is the easy answer. No, no how, no where, never, not going to happen, don't do it, bad boy. I mean, I suppose it's possible you could transmit the message, and every ham along the way doesn't bat an eyelash, and somehow it gets into Poland to its destination, or even near its destination inside the country. I think you'd still be in violation of 97 and maybe some other stuff, so I wouldn't even try it, would be my recommendation. But I'll have to get... I don't have part 97 on my portable computer. I should put that on there, and that way I could carry it around with me and have it here in the shack. K6PDG.
Thank you, Kevin. And I'll turn it back to Josh, K0JEB. Does that help guide you on your question? KC1TWR.
K0JEB. It helps and leaves me confused at the same time because I put a thing out on a Facebook group saying get a hold of me on APRS, send me a message, let me know where in the country you are. And this individual sent me a message and I looked up his call sign and he's in Poland. And so I'm just curious how the APRS stuff is tied in and able to let people do that without verifying that they're within the certain areas they're supposed to be in. So, all right, K0JEB, back to Net Control.
Thank Thank you, Josh. And I suspect that the answer lies in the form of traffic that we're talking about, one of them being the NTS National Traffic System, and then the other one being the fact that APRS may be more similar to things like FT8 and regular CW and so forth in how they communicate. So that could be it, because that's my thought. But before we go any further, let me do another quick call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. You do not have to be a member of Tri-City to join. And if you would like to join, please call now. I just realized that I said join, and I should have said if you would like to join this net, not necessarily the club, please call now. So we'll put it out there one more time. Anybody that would like to join this net, please call now.
It's a really good question, because if the transmissions are being repeated by another amateur station, such as a repeater, or in this case an APRS relay, or really a repeater, I suppose you could say, digipeater, whatever, then is that third-party traffic? It acts like third-party traffic. For instance, if I'm in violation with my transmission and I'm transmitting through this repeater, if the repeater retransmits that violation, the repeater is also in violation. So I don't know, but because there may be an exception too. So I'm stuck on this one. Sorry about that. KA6PDG.
Nothing to feel sorry about. Some of this is all good learning new information. And Josh, you had mentioned that you feel like sometimes when you're asking questions, it's like opening up a can of worms. And instead, it's opening up a good dialogue and a good subject matter for conversation. And because there are certainly questions that have a simple yes, no, et cetera answer. But then there's others where it makes people stop and go, And I like that. I like to when people bring questions like that to the net. So please don't feel bad about bringing what you think are a can of worms. We have a lot of fishermen here who will make use of those worms. And going down the list, based on everything that we've been talking about, and we'll go to Steve, W1SVC. Do you have any further comments or thoughts? KC1TWR.
W1SVC. I have nothing really helpful on it, but I agree with Tim on the compliments to Josh on these kind of questions, because I love this stuff. I don't think there's enough discussion of gray areas in this, the FCC gives us, we're self-policing, and they give us a lot of, they give us a lot, and we're expected to handle it properly, and there's no way anybody can know everything. I mean, you can read that stuff, and it's good to discuss these kind of things, because there's even those who are listening and those who have tried it, it's good to get this stuff on the table, and it gets people opening up the book on that subject, and let's take a look and see what the laws are on that, and it's good. I like the kind of stuff that keeps my scrambled mind, lets it clear for a moment, and actually think about something productive.
That's all I got. W1SVC, back to that.
Well, thank you, Steve. No, that's good. Good comment. Absolutely. And let's go ahead and go to John, W1JOP, after all this discussion. Any further thoughts or comments? This is KC1TWR. John, maybe you went back to get seconds on dinner. Mark, KB1RAY, same question to you. Any thoughts or comments based on the discussion we've been having? This is KC1TWR.
KB1RAY, nothing really useful, but just as a comment, I think I should probably know the answer by heart with the NTF BBS packet traffic that I do a couple of times a week here. So I'll be looking into that myself just to clarify it as well. With that, hope everyone does have a good rest of the week here. KB1RAY back. Net control.
Okay, thanks, Mark. And before we go into the next section, we'll do one last call out for any that would like to check in at this point or anyone with additional comments or questions. Please call now. Okay, we're moving into section two for announcements, bulletins, or items of interest. I have one or two myself, but I'll open the floor first. Does anyone have any announcements or items of interest they'd like to bring to the net? Please call now. Okay, one of my announcements is that in the latest QST magazine, there is an article about Aries and the fact that it will be undergoing some changes, and this may impact us. I believe that those in Region 4 South will not be impacted possibly as much as some other regions, but there will be some changes, so that's good to be aware of. Let me reset. Just a reminder that the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club auction is coming up the fourth Saturday in October. And while that's still a couple of months away, now's the time to start thinking about those items that you may want. Okay, let me try that again. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is having an auction the last week, Saturday in October. Now's the time to start looking around your ham shack and decide. Okay, I'm guessing it was my car battery that I've been working off of that was finally getting tired, so we'll try this one more time. Tri-City Amateur Radio Club auction last Saturday in October. Now's the time to look around your ham shack and decide if there's anything you want to bring to that. I know I have a 2-meter radio that I need to do a little bit of work to, because when I got it at an auction, it had three small things wrong with it, and I'm going to fix those and then put that back into the auction. So, let me reset. Just on a personal note, I will be away in Louisville, Kentucky for a wedding in a family family reunion, so I will be gone from September 5th through the 15th. And I will reach out to Kevin and Bill and Bob and whoever else to see who would like to cover the net while I'm gone. And we'll go from there. So any further questions, comments, or thoughts about or announcements anybody would like to bring, please call now. Section of the tips net. Are there any further check-ins that would like to check in? Please call now. Now is the opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio related items. Please come with your call sign. Okay, we do have one item from KC1TWR. I had picked up about 3 years ago, still brand new in the package, from MFJ, a device that allows you to go through a window. In other words, it has a flat coax, if you will, for going through the, open a window, put the flat coax, close the window, and it has the 239s on either end of it. And I have determined that they are definitely not going to work with the aluminum, very tight windows that we have in the condominium. So I'm looking to find a new home for it. So if anybody has any interest in that, they can contact me or you can reply to this transmission. So any questions on that, please call now. Okay, we've covered all three sections, and at this time I'm going to go ahead and close the net. I would like to thank all those who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all those who stood by as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club itself meets the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross Service Center at 1031 on Route 32 in Montville, Connecticut. The meeting start at 7:30 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. That's TRICITYARC.com. No hyphens, no spaces. And mentioning the licensed or not, a reminder that starting September 12th, I believe it is, at the Groton Senior Center, there will be a tech class for anybody who's interested. Also, you can also go to the TriCityArc.com website to get further details. We thank John W1AN for the use of this repeater. The TipsNet will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use at 7:48 p.m. local time. This is KC1TWR 73, and good evening.